I met you at a party, spilled a Diet Coke and Bacardi. When you saw me all up on your dark jeans, should've known it was a game you were starting, Mario Karting. 18 months of innocence, saw the text you sent to him, razor scooter to my shins, should've seen it coming. All my friends fucking hate you.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
Oh, what it do, Mark? How you doing?
It is going well here in the House of Draft.
Is it?
We had a bit of a bangle. It's fine.
We'll get into it here in a moment, but first, I think you need to tell us about the music this month.
Right. It's the month of January, and here in the month of January, we're celebrating the Wildlife. That is WLDLFE.
Vowels are for babies, except for E. E is fine.
Vowels are for babies. They are an indie pop rock band from Indianapolis, Indiana, with the song All My Friends. And we appreciate them allowing us to use their music here on the podcast. Be sure to hit the show notes. Get the links to all their social media accounts. They're doing big things. Give them a like, a follow, and a subscribe. Show them how much you appreciate their music, because we appreciate them for allowing us to use their music here on our podcast. Jeff.
Yes.
What did we watch this week?
Well, if you listen to our draft episode, you'll know that I drafted Sling Blade, directed and starring the guy's name that escapes me. Help me out.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes, Billy Bob Thornton, starring and directed by Billy Bob Thornton. Our intention was to watch that film, but it does not exist.
Only in your public library on DVD.
I was able to get it from the public library, but just yesterday, and we had already called an audible.
It doesn't exist in the... In the illegitimate means, right?
It doesn't exist in illegitimate means. It doesn't exist in legitimate means. You can't stream it anywhere. You can't pay for it. This is one of those times where I understand piracy in those moments. Like, if you won't allow me to pay you for your product, then I have to go somewhere else.
But even my damn self.
But even we couldn't even do that.
Right.
Right. So Sling Blade cannot be seen by anyone ever. I might go pick it up from the library and watch it, but probably not. And yeah,
why would you? Oh no,
you're good. Keep going. Okay. It's just my phone flipped up. That's why we record audio and video differently. You'll just put the little monkey face there again, like you did last time. I liked it. It was great. If it indeed saved the first part of this, but I'm not doing it again. So what we had to do was call an audible, and Mark had pitched the idea of doing some new movie that just came out, and I told him
Maestro.
I'd rather drink out of the toilet, which is...
And I don't understand why. Why?
It's hyperbole, but I'd rather drink out of... Because I don't want to watch it, all right? I'm allowed...
But why?
Because I don't want to. Because it's called Maestro, and it doesn't look entertaining, and... I'm only judging that off of the screenshot you sent me.
You didn't even watch the fucking
trailer.
I didn't watch the trailer.
You son of a bitch. That movie is poop central. So instead, I reached back in my memory of draft night when Mark said, I know what you're going to draft, and I did not draft it. And I said, well, God has smiled upon us and decided that what we need to do instead is watch the film The Quest.
The Quest.
From 1996, directed, written, and starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. And it's also written by Frank Dukes, which you probably don't know this, is the titular character, the person who the character Frank Dukes from Bloodsport was based on.
Oh, okay.
So the real Frank Dukes and the real Jean-Claude Van Damme got together.
With Stephen Klein.
And said, let's get this movie done. It also features James Remar, who's in a one of those guys that's been in a lot of movies, but I can't pick which one he's been in that I've seen. And then 007 himself, Roger Moore, is in this as well. And then some other
most recent. James Remar was most recently in Oppenheimer.
Oh, well, there you go.
I haven't seen Oppenheimer.
I haven't either. And it is now I can tell you why I refuse to see Oppenheimer. That's just three hours long, and there's no chance that it's anywhere near as entertaining as RRR. No chance. Right.
That's accurate. Right. It's a dialogue film of 3 hours.
I just don't want to sit through that much movie, and I really hope you don't pick it, but it's out of my control.
Right.
Much like not being able to watch Sling Blade this week, which I was looking forward to, and I think you hadn't seen
it.
I was excited.
I was too.
And it
doesn't make any fucking sense that a movie as critically acclaimed
didn't it win Oscars and shit?
Yeah, well, it's nominated at least.
Right.
But like, it doesn't make any sense that it's not available anywhere. And so, like, it's like, what the fuck are we doing? Why are we in the 21st century? I don't
understand. What happened? We live in a place where you can go on YouTube and look up anything and find a video about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, we live in a time period where we should be able to pretty much watch whatever we want when we want, even if I have to pay for it. I am noted on this pod. The term legitimate means comes from me insisting on going through proper legal channels to view the media we take in.
Correct.
Right?
And instead, I had to pay actual fucking money to watch this bullshit.
Hold your tongue. So I reviewed The Quest before on 30 Days of Van Damme, and I remember liking it then. So this is my second viewing, and I had to say the thing that I said the most in my review was that this is basically Bloodsport 2. And Frank Dukes being part of it makes sense because he's the titular character in Bloodsport. He's not titular. He's the main character. His name isn't Bloodsport. That would be pretty awesome.
That would have been badass, yeah.
Yeah. So I, of course, am a diehard Van Damme fan. I pretty much love movies that he's in. There are exceptions, and it's usually because he's barely in the movies that I like. There's a movie called Swelter that he's barely in. I don't like that movie, but he's all up in this one. And it's kind of a classic Van Damme tale of a guy going to a martial arts tournament. And I'm not sure what else you want.
Listen, I never seen it.
Yes. Not a surprise.
And I'm kicking myself that I even mentioned it on the draft episode.
You really did, because this would have never, I would have never recalled that Van Damme did this. Like, I obviously had seen it before, and on that podcast I did a while ago, I mentioned that he did indeed direct it and wrote it alongside Frank Dukes. It would have never come up in my mind. I would have pivoted to one of my other movies I had on the list, which I can't remember now what was on there, but
it's crazy that Roger Moore is in this movie, right?
Why? Because he's kind of at the end of his career. He's, you know, he was James Bond for a long time, and you know, that's ended.
Yeah, he's a big name though, right?
Yeah. I would have pivoted to probably High Anxiety, that Mel Brooks film, but I didn't.
God. I don't even know what that is. It's probably better than this though.
I will keep it on the. It's from 1977, so.
Oh,
I
mean, God.
You tell me. At least it's available to rent. Like, I can go onto Google Play right now and pay $4 and watch this film.
The cardinal sin of any film, and I've documented it here on the podcast.
About to say what I think you're going to say, I agree.
If you watch any of the 5-minute reviews I've done, I always make note, if a film has more than two writers, it's garbage.
Okay, 100%. That wasn't what I was going to say, but okay.
Garbage. No.
I kind of disagree, because
the film has three writers, and there's no way you can make a coherent movie with three different voices writing
the three writers here. Okay, so yeah, Frank Dukes and Van Damme came up with the story. The screenplay was written by Stephen Klein. Now, to point out an exception to your rule, I would point at the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the original one, which was written by, I want to say three, but definitely two. Fran, I can't remember her name, and then Pete Jackson. He has a writing partner that he's always with. And that trilogy is probably the greatest trilogy ever made, in my opinion. Star Wars fans, feel free to object.
Fran Walsh.
Thank you.
Philippa Boyens.
Right,
Peter Jackson is not a Peter Jackson is not a credited writer.
Okay, but
J.R.R. Tolkien is.
Well, he wrote the books. That's kind of the whole thing. So it essentially the parallel here is that Jean-Claude and Frank Dukes wrote Lord of the Rings and Stephen Klein wrote a screenplay for it and it came out was The Quest.
Right. I try to go into this movie with open mind because we've watched a good number of Van Damme films.
We have, and we're not done.
Almost 4 years, right? So, and I've been pleasantly surprised by some. So I was like, you know what? It's an hour and a half. It's a Van Damme movie, so you know it's going to have kick ass stuff in it. So,
and I think there is some kick ass stuff here.
It's this weird kick ass stuff, but. It's dumb. I wasn't expecting it to be like some fucking high dollar piece of cinema.
Right. It's a Van Damme film. Right.
But like, it's like incoherently dumb.
I wouldn't call it incoherent. I mean, it's not like incoherent,
the dumbest. Yeah. What's his name? Aronofsky didn't direct this one.
Could you imagine? That would be horse shit.
But the dumbest thing in this film is that this movie tried to convince me that James Remar was the world champion.
He gets his ass kicked pretty much right out of the gate. But he is a world champion in 1920s terms, right? So the film takes place in the 20s. So I think that's post-World War I, pre-World War II.
That is correct.
And, and so he is this old-timey boxer. Even at the scene where he bows up to Van Damme, he's got that classic sort of pugilist posture. And then Van Damme kicks his ass, which is what would realistically happen. Nothing against James Remar. But I think he looked the part with the mustache. He kind of looked like that old-timey pugilist guy.
I don't mind his look.
Basically, they're getting recruited to Mortal Kombat. This movie is like
it, the same. This, I think it's the same island.
I'm pretty sure the
footage in Mortal Kombat is the same footage.
Maybe
in this fucking movie,
but not story wise, because that takes place in the Nether Realm. But it's basically fighters from around the world are given scrolls, much like Mortal Kombat, to go fight in this tournament. And it's really just about the most basic. Like, they came, Frank Dukes and my man Van Damme got together and just wrote the most basic thing they could. Now, 96, I want to say Mortal Kombat was out by this point.
I think Mortal Kombat was like 94, wasn't it? 92?
95, so just the previous year. So we essentially watched Mortal Kombat.
Right.
And made Mortal Kombat. It's not as good in my... You don't like Mortal Kombat. That's fine.
No, I didn't like Mortal Kombat.
I love Mortal Kombat. It's one of my favorite movies because it's just one of those... It's nostalgia, for sure. But
yeah.
I love it. And this is basically that again. But it's also Kickboxer again. And Kickboxer predates... Not Kickboxer, excuse me. Bloodsport. And Bloodsport predates Mortal Kombat. So I'm fine with it. You know, like, honestly, it's fine. So they invite all these fighters, and they all have different styles. Like, so the guy from Japan is a sumo wrestler. And, you know, there's a guy who is from Brazil, and he does capoeira. And so they get, from America, the best we have to offer is James Remar, the boxer. And nowadays we live in the world of Ultimate Fighting Championship, right? And early UFC was... literally mixed martial arts. They took, because nowadays mixed martial arts is, there's like, it's kind of this uniform thing that they all do. But back in the day when it first came out, it was a wrestler versus a boxer. It was someone who did capoeira versus a brawler. Like, they actually had very different styles of martial arts. And that's kind of what this movie does. Now, I will say, one of the things that's hilarious to me that I find severely entertaining is the stereotypes they use for the people from these different nations.
Yes.
Most notably, the guy from Scotland. He comes up, bright red hair, wearing a kilt. And then the guy from Spain, or was he French?
Oh,
He went up into like this.
I think it was French.
Pose. He looked ridiculous. And I was here for all of that. That's the kind of stupid I like. So that's your plot. Like, they're just going to this tournament. Now, Jean-Claude plays a character named Christopher Dubois, who is running away from the law, and he gets picked up by a pirate named Lord Edgar Dobbs, played by Roger Moore. And Roger Moore's a thief, and he has this guy named Harry with him, who's essentially his Smee. And when I say pirate, he doesn't have an eye patch. He's very British and proper, and he kind of scams people out of money, and he's just a shyster.
He's a cartoon villain.
Yeah, he's fun though.
I did enjoy his performance, especially at the end where they try to carry that fucking gold dragon
that was
out with
so
a fucking
stupid.
Helicopter. And it's like, hey, while they're fighting, we're just gonna steal this thing.
It's really good.
It's dumb.
It's dumb, sure, but dumb can be good. There are a lot of dumb things I love.
I like the actor Jack McGee, who played Harry.
Oh, yeah. He's another one of those guys, as I think we've said before, where you just know him from places.
He starred alongside, what's the comedian guy that played in?
He was in Basic Instinct, bro.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, he was one of the sheriff.
At the table at the interview.
Yep. I do remember. He played a big part in that 9/11 show. It came out right after 9/11.
9/11?
No.
9/11. He was in a TV show called 9/11. He was in Moneyball, which is a great film.
No, it was in what is it called?
I'll scroll back. If it was in 2001.
It was 2002. Yeah, it was sometime after. It was like a couple years after. But it's about firefighters in New York. Mm.
He was in L.A. Confidential. Oh, that's a TV movie, though.
What is the guy, the comedian? And he was in that one. He was not the villain in the Wesley Snipes. Was it Wesley Snipes? Van Damme or Wesley Snipes and Stallone?
Well, Wesley Snipes and Stallone would have been Demolition Man. I don't think Snipes has ever done a movie outside of maybe an Expendables
I think he's in Demolition Man.
Okay.
The guy that's in this show.
Well, then I approve because Demolition Man is awesome.
I remember watching that show after it came on. Dennis Leary, that's the fucking name.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of the movie, but I'm not a Dennis Leary fan.
I mean, I'm not really either, but what is that show called?
It's like Firehouse.
Rescue Me.
Firehouse.
Firehouse. But anyways, this guy Jack McGee was in Rescue Me, and I just remember him being really, really good. And like every time I see him now in a movie, I instantly recall him being in the show Rescue Me. And I'm like, so when he popped up here, I'm like, okay, all right, I'm here for some Jack McGee, and he was pretty good. And I think that's an appropriate comparison to Smee. He is kind of the right-hand man for Roger Moore's character.
But you get the idea that he's actually kind of more of the brains. Like, Roger Moore is sort of a goofball in this. Like, his plans don't really work out, and he gets caught in a lot of lies, and I'm here for it. I like their little dynamic, and I think it's fun. So, like, there's this whole pirate scene where, they're about to kill Van Damme, but then Roger Moore sees Van Damme kick ass on the boat. And so he sells them to, they go to Muay Thai Island, which is awesome. And Muay Thai is a big part of Bloodsport, or No, kickboxer, excuse me, because Tung Po does Muay Thai and all that. Anyway, I love that movie. Maybe one day I'll pick it and we'll watch Kickboxer. I forgot what I was saying. But yeah, and so then, like, he sells him to Cal?
Yep, that guy.
Who's played by Aki Along. And, you know, and he learns Muay Thai there. And then he is, like, trained by him, and they enter him into tournaments, and basically Van Damme is a kick-ass Muay Thai fighter. And that's when Roger Moore sees him again, and he's trying to get back to the United States, and it's all this thing just because what they're trying to do is get to the Mortal Kombat, because I don't know what it's actually called, and there's a giant golden dragon statue that the winner gets. And the idea is that Van Damme will get this statue, Roger Moore will sell it, and that'll get him back to the States, and they'll have money because Van Damme saves, like, street urchins and shit. He has, like, a gang of little dudes that do his work for him.
he's a foster daddy.
He really is. He's almost like a Peter Pan, except a grown-ass man. Think Hook.
I just, like, so what really, I can say the thing that bothered me most about this film is that at the start of it, you get bad prosthetic old Van Damme.
Yes.
In a bar.
And it feels like someone else is even doing his voice. And I have great Van Damme radar, as I have had a crush on the man my entire life. So, but it didn't, it almost sounded like someone else was doing it or they did something.
It probably was. Yeah. It probably was. But he walks, the opening scene, he walks into a bar and the bartender's like, oh, what'll it be? And he sits down and he's got this whiskey or whatever. And then these weirdos come into the bar and they hold the bartender up. And Van Damme's like, oh, y'all should leave. And they all try to attack Van Damme. Or the one guy tries to attack Van Damme and he does this, like, little thing. And he essentially, with one hand, kind of just beats his ass.
He's Van Damme. He's awesome.
Right. But it's old Van Damme. And then the bartender goes, where did you learn to fight like that? And then you get this kind of voiceover as he, like, goes back into, you know, the story.
Yeah, it's stupid and it doesn't need to be here. And it bookends the film. But also,
and the book ends the film. And I, like, he slams shut the book. Like, he was telling a fucking story the entire time.
But what he's doing is reading the book that was written by the other character that was with him on the journey, right? Because there's this blonde woman... played by Janet Gunn, who plays Carrie Newton, and she serves zero purpose in this film. Right. She has no agency. She doesn't do anything. She's really there as, like, I think maybe a love interest, but they never do anything with it.
Right.
They don't even have scenes where they kind of are flirty. Like, there's a couple scenes where Van Damme turns around and looks at her, and James Remar's like, yeah, she's pretty, huh? And he's like, you know, but that's it. They don't do any romance. And then at the end of the movie, he puts his arm around her and they walk off. And it really served no purpose whatsoever. And again, the bookend is also serves no purpose. This opening scene, you almost forget about it during the movie when they cut back to it and he's closing the book. I rolled my eyes. Right.
It's like you don't even know. That's the problem with three writers. You don't even know where the fucking story begins.
Again, I don't think it's three writers in the traditional sense. I think they just said, bitch, we're doing Bloodsport again. And
you're going to credit me as a writer.
Right.
Janet Gunn was in a movie called Carnosaur 3.
Oh, hell yeah. Put it on the list.
Primal Species.
Ooh-wee. I don't want to watch that. But I'd watch it way faster than I watched The Maestro.
The poster is fantastic. I'm going to send it to you. It's just ridiculous. This whole movie, I don't know. Like, if Jean-Claude Van Damme got in his brain that he was going to make Bloodsport 2, and this was what he came up with, I was like, what? And it's rated PG-13, man. Make this rated R.
Well, I agree with that. Every Van Damme film should be rated R.
What are we doing?
So there are some good martial arts in this movie. So you get to the tournament, and it's kind of like, I love fighting tournament movies. Give me like the Kickboxer and Bloodsport. It's my shit.
All right.
And this should be my shit, and it kind of is. But when you like, there's some really, really good martial arts in this movie. Specifically, I think of the capoeira guy, and then there was this other guy who did like animal forms, and he was extremely athletic, and he had a fight against the capoeira guy, and I'm like, actually, this could be the most kick-ass thing in the movie, but it's like really short, and I kind of wish it was longer. The wrestling fan in me was kind of like, you could really do a lot of cool action with these two because they're extremely athletic. And by the way, Mark just sent me the poster for Carnosaur 3 Primal Species. It looks like a hand puppet velociraptor.
It is a hand
puppet. We got to watch it. It's probably on Tubi. But
I'm going to send you a screen. I'm sending you a screenshot right now.
Yeah. Now, one of the things.
Ridiculous.
Okay. One of the things I do want to talk about and see. Oh, my God. We're watching that movie. Look up Carnosaur 3 if you're listening to this. Now, one of the things I don't know if you noticed was that anytime the sumo guy wrestled, his body fat had sound effects. Like rippling water, and you just hear Jell-O as he's...
Yeah, there's no other sound other than this.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Again, another thing I liked about the movie. I don't... Like, you think about it. Someone was watching this film in the editing room, probably Van Damme, and was like, I need Jell-O sounds for this guy. And thought that that improved the film. And you know what? It did. It made it a better film.
Now, what did you think of Abdel Kisi?
Who's that? The main bad guy?
Yeah, he's the Mongolian fighter.
All right. So again, this is my genre of film, but I need the big bad to be bigger and badder than this guy. I honestly didn't find him intimidating. He was like, he was playing the position that Bolo Ying played in Bloodsport. Right. And we all know Bolo Ying is a badass and he's awesome. Even Mark admits that.
Yeah.
But this guy, he's like doughy and just not impressive. There was one guy who I swear was in Mortal Kombat. There's a masked character in Mortal Kombat that gets killed really early on by Sub-Zero, sort of at the dinner scene. And his physique was just like his. It was super cut and trim and muscular, and he was looked like a badass. I was like, do that guy. Do the capoeira guy. Do something. This guy's, and again, the wrestling fan in me kept coming out because in wrestling, there's these giant guys. And rest his soul, Andre the Giant was never a great wrestler. Like, you'd watch him, and he was slow, and he kind of lumbered around, and his matches are kind of boring. And that's kind of what you got here with this guy. I really would have rather seen someone like a real good martial artist. Again, kickboxer. You had Tung Po. You had Bolo Ying in Bloodsport. Just something more like that where they're more charismatic. This guy had no charisma. He didn't look like a badass. I'm sure he could kick my ass, but so could Haley Joel Osment. It just... I mean, I really didn't like him.
Damn, don't admit that on the podcast.
Haley Joel Osment will whip my ass. And I'm talking about little boy Haley Joel Osment. It would be a fucking bloodbath now if I had to face adult one. Kick my ass.
So another ridiculous moment in this film was when the one fighter dies by the hand of the Mongolian guy.
Right out of Bloodsport. Right.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme goes into the ring and he like takes the dead guy's blood and he taps the Mongolian guy on the back and he turns around and wipes his blood on his like chest.
So that
what the fuck is this?
I don't know if that's like a challenge or whatever. I don't think it really.
No, I think it was like meant to show like this blood is on your hands. It's like
the Mongolian
the fuck
guy
that
was cool with it. Like he was fine. Like it doesn't bother him. But right. That is right out of Bloodsport because there's a scene in Bloodsport where Bolo Ying kills a guy in the ring, and everyone turns their back on him and kind of boos him, and he doesn't give a shit. And that's what this is. There isn't a lot of creativity in this movie. It is a run-of-the-mill tournament fighter-style film with a handful of decent fights. But honestly, the main fight's weighed down by the main bad guy not actually being capable of doing anything other than killing it at a buffet. I don't care. Like, I would have rather the sumo guy, because that guy looked properly sumo. Like he was,
and he actually had like facial expression too.
Right, there was something about him that portrayed a level of charisma, even though I don't think he had many spoken lines. There are a lot of characters like that actually had more charisma than this Mongolian guy. I think he is one of the worst parts of the movie, mostly because he's not scary or intimidating enough. There's no doubt in your mind that Van Damme's going to kick this guy's ass. But they just didn't do a great job of establishing him as the big bad, like in previous films that I've just mentioned.
Yeah, and he doesn't say a word. He's just stoic.
And Tong Po. Let's go back to Tong Po. I'll talk about Van Damme movies all day. Tong Po in Kickboxer is not a freak specimen. He's pretty tall, but he is charismatic. Like, you believe he would kill a guy. And it's all in his performance. And I think he has one line about your brother. I hurt your brother. I'll kill you. Something like that. Yeah, this guy sucks.
Sucks. I don't know. I was just going through all the fighter actors in the Quest, and they're all pretty much Van Damme film staples. Like, several of them have been in. There's a lot of crossover between Bloodsport 2, Street Fighter. There's even Dragon, the Bruce Lee. I don't know if it's Van Damme, but so it seems like, you know, Van Damme had his stable of dudes that he wanted in his films, at least for his fight scenes, I'd imagine. But I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting the facial expressions of this movie. There's several like scenes where it just like it centers on a face, and the facial expression is just wild. And it's like who's shooting this movie? Who's behind this camera? It's Van Damme, and it's like, ooh, you look shocked. Let me zoom into your face.
You got to capture the emotion, man.
It's just, you can quite obviously, I don't know if Van Damme had directed a film prior to this.
No, this is his directorial debut. He did go on to direct a film called The Eagle Path, which I have not seen. It's one of the few I haven't. I'll try to see if I can find it, but I think it's located on the shelf right next to Sling Blade.
Right. It's
like you can't watch it.
I just like, he's only directed two movies.
Actually, is The Eagle Path the one that you tried to, like, the other time we had this problem, you drafted a Van Damme movie, and it wasn't called Eagle Path, but I think it had...
It was called something else. Right. It was called something else. But this is it.
Full Love, yeah.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't exist. Again, it literally is in the same realm as Sling Blade as being impossible to watch.
I just, you know, and I will never get mad at somebody, anybody really, for attempting to make what they think would be art, right? And I think that's really anything that is put in a medium, whether it be music,
podcast,
here on film, podcast, right? Exactly. Thank you for solidifying our place in art history.
Thank you. Yep.
And it's quite obvious that Van Damme had never directed a film before by watching this.
Honestly, if you think about...
There's a lot of mimicry in this film, right?
Sure, but...
And I think that's...
The story was coherent.
It was.
I mean, it made sense. Like, at no point was I lost. Sure. I mean,
you know, this film has, it starts out with fucking Van Damme in clown makeup and stilts, bro.
Yeah, that threw me off the first time I watched it. I'm like, what the hell? But it doesn't bother me because he's my dog. Weird. Like, I just.
Right, I know. I get it. Listen. It's just, I don't understand. I don't understand this movie. And, like, if it was meant to be kind of just a carbon copy of another film, just make it that film, but the next one. Three, four, whatever.
Well, they've done that, right? So there are Bloodsport sequels that don't star him, and I haven't seen those. And then there's Kickboxer sequels.
Which you have seen.
I have seen, and the ones that don't star him are pretty shitty, and the ones that do are actually pretty good. There's one called Retaliation, I think, which I would refer to as a good film. But anyway.
I don't know. I can't say anything more about it. The film ends with Jean-Claude Van Damme giving up the money in order to save Roger Moore and Shmi, and then he beats the Mongolian guy and he saves Roger Moore's life. And I was like, why? What do you give a fuck? They tried to fucking steal your shit, man.
Yeah, I don't know. And
it didn't make any sense.
And it didn't like work for me on any level. But it's a forgettable Van Damme romp. It's not a bad Van Damme film. It is forgettable to me. Like,
no, yeah, for sure it's forgettable.
Yeah, there were a lot of things I kind of was like, wait, well, I don't remember that. But it's fine. And in the terms of Van Damme, it's fine. When I was watching 30 Days of Van Damme, it was a breath of fresh air because there was a lot of hot garbage that I was watching, and this one was like, oh shit, Van Damme's actually in this movie and it's Bloodsport again. I was fine with it. On this rewatch, knowing what it was, I was like, this is kind of boring to me. Like, I lay the blame, and I'm not saying it's the actor's fault, but the villain just isn't compelling enough for me to want to see Van Damme kick his ass. Like, I was watching Commando today. Fucking fantastic. Have you seen Commando recently?
Yeah, not recently.
All right, so one of the villains is Bennett, and he is the most insufferable piece of shit. He wears this dumb vest that his grandma knit for him or whatever, and he talks about how he's the super badass, but he looks like your dad. You know what I mean? Like, he just, and I'm not saying that as a personal insult to your father, but just everyone's dad. He looks like a general dad. And I want Arnold to punch him in the face so bad. I can't wait to see him get it. And that's what this is missing.
It was a forgettable watch. I don't see why anybody would ever watch this one. Unless you're doing a Van Damme deep dive.
I could see myself watching this one more time, but I'm an idiot, right? I love Van Damme, and so
right. I'll probably watch this one again. I don't know why you would go out of your way unless you're watching it for a particular reason like we were.
Or if you're a Van Damme fan. If you're Van Damme.
Right. And I get it, but like, you have now spent money multiple times on this film.
I should have bought it the first time.
That would have been smart. future.
There were a lot of Van Damme movies I bought during the 30 Days of Van Damme because they were like half, you know,
yeah,
$4 to rent, $8 to own. I'm like, psh.
Done.
I
sold.
Think Double Team was one of them. I love Double Team.
Anyways, do you recommend this one?
No. Okay, just in the realm of Van Damme, it's a no, and definitely not in the realm of all of cinema. I would say I would put Double Team above this. The only thing
I would put in every other Van Damme movie we've watched on this podcast,
except for JCVD. I watched this 100 times over instead of JCVD.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I mean, because we've watched most of my favorites on this side of the pot other than Kickboxer and Bloodsport. But obviously those are better. But this is kind of down in the lower mid-range, right? Like, he's got some well worse ones than this that he's barely in. But this feels like a Van Damme movie. And so if someone were like, I'm a Van Damme fan, said I should sit down and watch it, I'd say yes, but have you watched Nowhere to Run first? Because Nowhere to Run is awesome. That I'll find a way to squeeze that in too. We'll do Patricia Arquette month. Good.
Oh, good, sure. You didn't ask me, but I'm not going to recommend this either.
I think we all assumed you wouldn't. I knew when I picked it you weren't going to, but.
I'm happy to be have it over and done with in the rearview mirror, so we can watch what next week.
Well, you, like some sort of beautiful bastard, decided to make us watch Tropic Thunder, and I am always in favor of watching a comedy. It's my favorite genre of film. I always find that they're a little tougher to talk about because it always breaks down to, remember that part? Ha, 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 ha. And, you know, but that
but
being
this
said,
one was nominated for Oscars.
Was it really?
It had
makeup?
Robert Downey Jr. Was nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, was he? Okay. We'll get to have the conversation that always comes up around this movie about why. Like, I don't know anyone who. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. But yeah, we get to watch Tropic Thunder.
It's streaming on Hulu and Pluto TV.
It is readily available. I don't know if. Maybe let me look up War of the Roses real quick because I think.
Pull another fucking Audible.
It's on Hulu, but it's premium. So it's on Cinemax.
Cinemax, yeah.
But it's available. You can do like a free preview on, and you can rent it at all the places. So it's a go.
It's a go.
Oh, it's got Sean Astin in it. I didn't know that. And War of the Roses. Anyway, we'll get to that in 2 weeks.
Anyways, once again, we give a shout out to the music this month and The Wildlife. That's the WLDLFE Wowzer for Babies.
Except for E.
Except for E. The indie pop rock band from Indianapolis, Indiana, with the song All My Friends. Get the show notes, give them a like, follow, subscribe. We appreciate them allowing us to use their music here on the podcast. And if you want to follow the podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, we're at Movie Draft House. And so you can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, right here on YouTube, where you're probably watching us right now, and we appreciate that. So hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content here on the podcast. And if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and tell him, hey, man, Jean-Claude Van Damme is old. And
do not do that. I'm telling you right now, if anyone gets in touch with me and says some shit like that, I'm blocking them.
Instant block.
Instant block. No one will defend the name of Van Damme.
Anyway, if you want to get instant blocked by Jeff,
then do it.
You can follow him at Podcast by Jeff.
And if you want to get in touch with Mark and say, hey, what do I have to say to you to get instantly blocked? You can do that on Twitter at I Heard You Liked. What would someone have to say to you?
Mention Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Wow. I'm going to be blocked on Twitter. Keep an eye out. Mark's going to block me because I'm sure I brought up Van Damme.
I just recently, I went and saw the new Aquaman movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so terrible. It's just like, it's the last movie of the current DC.
They're going to reboot it with James Gunn and all that, right?
Right. Yeah. So this is the last movie. And it's directed by James Wan. And like, James Wan is a very capable horror director, right?
Malignant. That's the fucking shit, man.
Right. He's directed some good shit. Man, this one's garbage.
I feel like he's directed a Marvel movie too, hasn't he? Maybe I'm.
I don't think he's directed anything Marvel, but I don't know why I just started talking about Aquaman, but anyways, Jeff.
Yeah.
Any words of wisdom?
Nope. We'll see you next week. All my friends fucking hate you. You left me for someone brand new. You like to hide behind your lies. They got my back, you don't got mine. Yeah, all my friends fucking hate you. And I think I do too. Yo. 18 months of innocence. Saw the text you sent to it. Razor scooter to my shins. Should've seen it coming. Acting like you're heaven sent. I think
wish I never did. All my friends fucking hate you. You left me for someone brand new. Yeah. You like to hide behind your lies. They got my back, you don't got mine. Yeah.